The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
One fighter tested positive, which they said they did over 1,200 tests on 300 people during the course of the week. And to me, that's kind of the model of what you're going to have to do if you're going to be any sport and try to reopen here.
I think overall, had you told them that one guy out of the card is going to test positive, they probably would have said that that's a win for us. And as long as no one else gets infected, I think it is kind of a win.
It looks like Deshaun Watson is his payday here relatively soon. Jeremy Fowler is one of the people who said that. Says he'll get his sometime in the next couple months. Man, am I wrong to just saying maybe wait? See what the salary cap's going to look like?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But listen, all these teams are going to be in trouble when the salary cap changes. And I don't think that the Texans were going to be immune to that, whether they have him signed or not. In fact, it may be better if they do have him signed to kind of work down from that than try to fit him in once the cap drops.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. Miss the first 2 hours. A lot of UFC talk, a little football talk, a little Rona talk. All available on podcastarena.com. And before we get to the Jordan thing, did you see that IKEA has had to issue a statement asking people not to masturbate in their stores?
Is that that's been a big issue for them, huh?
Apparently there was a, and I spent the entire break trying to find the video, so I don't know how viral it really was, but apparently a woman did just that in IKEA in China. She was just wandering around from sofa to chair to bed, pleasuring herself.
So Chinese officials scrubbed it from the internet because they have that kind of control. So it was viral in China. By the time they realized it, it was gone.
Hmm.
Well, that sucks.
So I don't know if anybody got anywhere? A copy of it to post on, no,
it's,
you
it's,
know,
it's United the internet. States There's internet, gotta be. But...
Yeah, well,
it's gotta be out there somewhere. That's the internet for you.
I looked all over the place and could not find it, so...
Did you look all over the place or just in approved for work
websites? Well, I
didn't websites?
Look at Chinese places, you know, but all I could find is kind of a fuzzy photo of her. That's it. On TMZ.
All right.
Unfortunately. But they're reminding shoppers to visit stores in an orderly and civilized way.
You're and, right. And not masturbate on their couches. They're trying to sell those couches.
Yeah. No
the value drops.
Or maybe it goes up. It just depends on what you're looking for. So, all right, your thoughts on the latest issue of the Jordan docs?
Yeah, I mean, I've been entertained the whole time. I haven't found it to be slow. I think they did a really good job with it. I mean, I've heard some people say what you said, that they didn't need to do it in 10 episodes, but... I've been happy with the pacing of it, and never have I gone, like, have I looked down at my watch and go, oh, is this thing going to ever end? I've felt really good about it.
I guess my problem is it's just so much of it is rehash of stuff that I already knew, and the things that I was hoping to get more on, they didn't really dive into. And the whole thing with his father dying, it was moving, but it's like there's nothing new there. And I just kind of wonder how much the whole Jordan having influence over thing is. It seems to me it's almost too much of a how great Michael Jordan was. And when there's some really good side stories there that I think that I would have liked to see more focus on that And I still think the Rodman one was my favorite one out of all of them. But they didn't really break any new ground on the controversial stuff. It's all the same stuff he's always said, which may be true. But I just would have liked something new.
I thought that one of the stories that they did a good job on, because I knew the story very, very vaguely about Scottie Pippen refusing to go back into the game. Like, I knew that happened. I didn't really understand the reason why, because when I heard about this, I was a kid. So to hear him address it was interesting to me. To hear them talk about Bill Cartwright's speech was interesting to me. There was a lot of cool stuff about that scene or that part of the story for me. So I was interested in that. Because to hear Scottie say, was I pleased that I did it? No, but when I've thought about it a lot, and would I do it again? Probably so. That's a pretty big statement, to be honest. For him to say that doesn't paint him in a good light. The fact that he's saying, yeah, if I had to do it all over again, I'd still basically quit on my team. That was surprising to me.
Yeah, that part of it was good. I'll grant you that. There's just not enough of those moments for me. And keep in mind, this is a team that I never really liked and a player I never really liked personally.
Right.
So I don't have a ton of interest in all of this. I think it's really for people who didn't live through it. But having said that, there's just not a lot of stuff. There's not enough of that. There's not enough of the Rodman. There's not enough of what Pippen said. It's all, it's good, but it's not great, in my opinion. And
that's fair. I thought it was funny that there were Rockets fans mad that they didn't address the Rockets winning the championship.
Oh, who cares?
The documentary's not about the Rockets.
No. Yeah,
and honestly, they could probably do a documentary about those two seasons from the Rockets' perspective that would be cool, but there's no need to really talk about them, because if the Rockets had beat them, they would have talked about it. The Rockets didn't beat them, though, so there was no point in bringing the Rockets into it.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, that's just Rockets fan being... Rockets
they
fan,
felt
I
slighted
guess.
Because they always want credit for those two championship seasons, which, I mean, I'm from what I understand, the trophies are still there in Toyota Center, or at least replicas are. But they no one's ever taken those away. There's no asterisks in the record books. Those are actual championships that they won. So I didn't have a problem with them not mentioning it in the doc. I would have been more confused had they gone over it, because now you're talking about the Knicks Rockets series and the Bulls Rockets or the Magic Rockets series that Michael Jordan nor anybody on the Bulls were involved in.
Yeah, I don't think it had any place in there from what I've seen. And I mean, again, I would have liked to have seen some editing in this thing and tightened up a little bit, but we'll see. There's still how many left?
Two left,
yeah. So hopefully, I'm really more interested in the how it ended, which they alluded to early, and I'm assuming that's what it's going to build up to. That I think I'll be interested in. But most of the ones I've gone in with high hopes for, I've felt disappointed over. And the gambling one was one, and when you talked about it last week, well, they'll probably get into it more when talking about his dad, and they really didn't.
No, you're right.
I don't know what I was expecting. I just was expecting more than what we already knew that was out there. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. So I've got some more NFL players who could wind up being cut. I'd be curious what you think of these guys. Number one on the list, they have Kawan Short of the Carolina Panthers.
Wouldn't shock me.
31 years old, $17.36 million in dead cap hit. They could spread it across two seasons. But, yeah, and they just drafted Derek Brown. So, how about this one? Alshon Jeffrey of your Eagles.
Also wouldn't shock me. A guy hasn't been able to stay healthy. I think they've been sort of disappointed with him.
Well, and they went out and got, you know, Marquise Goodwin. They drafted Jalen Reagor. So, it may be time. Here's another one. Melvin Ingram of the Chargers.
That one, I guess, surprises me. I guess because I've just thought about the – I mean, I've considered that the Chargers have lost quite a bit this offseason and them wanting to not lose more. So I guess I would be surprised by that move.
Well, he put up a five-year low, 12 quarterback hits last season, and is set to count $16.63 million against the cap.
That's tough.
So –
But, I mean, I guess it depends. To me, it depends on what are you planning to do with that cap space if you let him go.
Well, they're because I think about we Joey still look Bosa at the highest paid defensive player ever.
Yeah, but we still look at the Chargers as a team who they're not out of this thing, right?
I don't think so. I mean, it depends on what kind of quarterback play they get. I mean, if Herbert comes out and he's really good as a rookie or they start with Taylor, either one. I mean, I think they've got enough talent. That, yeah, I still think they're a playoff contender.
I think so, too. So, I don't know. I mean, it feels like if they do that, then they're basically saying we're rebuilding now, and that seems premature.
And
done anything with what they had, so maybe it's not premature.
Right. Leonard Fournette.
We knew that was coming.
Yeah. And here's another one that kind of surprised me. Ryan Kerrigan of the Redskins.
That is a little surprising.
But apparently they think he may not be a fit with what Ron Rivera likes to do defensively. It's only an $11.7 million cap hit for 2020.
That's not bad. Well, yeah, it would have to be a fit issue then because that's actually a pretty good number.
Gabe Jackson, guard of the Raiders. Apparently they tried to move him during the draft and nothing happened. He's 28. He counts $9.6 million, and you know most teams aren't paying that much to interior offensive linemen.
No.
So those are your
– The Raiders, they're trying to spend all their money on flash and flare right now.
Yeah. All right, well, there's another segment in the books, and maybe it's time to pop open a car box.
Oh, it's definitely getting close to that time, and obviously – You know, we've talked a lot, you know, during this pandemic about who's, you know, helping out the little guy or helping out with people who are in need. And obviously you raise a lot of money playing poker and stuff for those guys. And Carbach does it year round, which is pretty wild to think about. Year round, they're raising money for like with the Crawford Buck. Every Crawford Buck they sell, there's money going to the Astros organization, the youth organization. And every coastal conservation ale, there's money going to CCA of Texas, which helps protect our shorelines here in the great state of Texas. So they're doing this year round. They didn't have their restaurant open. It's back open on a sort of a trial basis. It's not full open yet, but they are open. They are serving. You're getting outside. You're going to have some social distancing going on, but you're still going to get the great food and the great beer. And on top of that, you always have the option to buy it in the grocery store because they worked really hard to make sure there was plenty of Carbach in the stores for everybody. So when you're out at the grocery store, make sure you grab yourself some Carbach.
This is The Blitz. On ESPN, 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. A couple people not liking my opinion of the The Last Dance. I just say, if you're enjoying it, enjoy it. I mean, from my perspective, I haven't as much as most people, so that's perfectly all right. Do you see the story that Jeff Van Gundy's reportedly a candidate for the Rockets job if D'Antoni's fired?
Boy, how do you think Mike D'Antoni feels? It seems like everybody's basically saying he's gone.
Yeah, Thibodeau, his name's come up for it too. But, I mean, it would – I kind of feel like if you're not going to finish the season, I mean, is that – I mean, I know he's on a one-year deal. I guess they've already made up their mind that, okay, this wasn't going as well as we'd hoped. That could be the only answer, right?
Yeah. But, man, it seems like – I don't know. I mean, what without finishing out the season, knowing what the Rockets would have been able to do, I mean, you know my thoughts on D'Antoni as a coach anyway. I think they're limited. But it seemed also like the Rockets said, no, we're all in with this guy. And now it's not like they did anything different than they've been doing. I mean, they're an okay team. They're not the best team in the West. But everyone said, give them time. Now – they're not even playing games, and apparently we've given them enough time, huh?
I guess so. And, boy, you want to talk about opposites of Van Gundy. I mean, Van Gundy and Thibodeau, much different than D'Antoni.
Big and difference.
You just have to wonder how that would fly with James Harden.
Well, at some point, don't you have to say, listen, it's more about the team than it is about James Harden, and James Harden just has to get on board. Because the James Harden that's had the player friendly coach, that's basically had his run of the thing, he hasn't produced the results that you want, right?
I think they got to go a different direction. But the guy's got too much control over the team, and I don't think he would with those two guys. I can't see Van Gundy bending over backwards to cater to James Harden's every whim.
Wow. It would definitely be an interesting dynamic. And I for one, would say, you know what? If you've got a better chance of getting something done with Thibodeau than you do with D'Antoni, because we've already seen what D'Antoni can do with James.
Yeah, I thought he deserved a full year with Westbrook to see if he could make it work. And at times it did, at times it didn't. It just wasn't consistent enough, I don't think. But it's pretty obvious they made up their mind to move on, because otherwise this stuff wouldn't keep coming out, would it?
I would guess not. I mean, we wouldn't hear all these rumors if they were happy with him.
Yeah. It would be kind of a shame to lose your job because you didn't get to finish a season. But, I mean, it's not like they had no chance before that either. So, yeah. I still think Van Gundy can coach, but that's another guy who's been doing TV for so long. It's been a while, man. He hasn't coached it since, what, 2007?
I've got no interest in that, honestly. None.
Yeah. I mean, I think we see that in a lot of sports now where guys leave the booth and they go and do, you know, they go back. And I just don't know that one works. But, boy, Thibodeau would be a complete culture change here. And maybe that's what they need.
Would you rather have Mark Jackson or Van Gundy?
I think Mark Jackson kind of got a raw deal a little bit. But
I do too, but I also think Mark Jackson was one of the guys that was like kind of – he was pushing his personal beliefs onto his players and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's ever going to fly in today's NBA.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't fly anywhere.
Right.
But maybe he's learned from that. I don't know. Don't know if you saw this, but if they do resume the season, Kevin Durant's manager thinks, the Nets general manager thinks that he might be able to play.
That'd be pretty wild. That would be a game changer because, I mean, wouldn't the, where would the Nets be in the playoffs? I mean, they wouldn't be anywhere.
They're in now, as of now.
So, I mean, obviously you don't want to be the team that runs into them if they've got a healthy KD and a healthy Kyrie, right?
Yeah, he says, in all seriousness, we've tried not to talk about his timeline a lot. He knows his body better than anybody. Our performance team and training staff have done a tremendous job getting them to this point, but I just don't know how coming out of this pandemic will affect anybody, let alone Kevin. When you've got enough invested in a player like Kevin, we're never going to push him to come back. When the timing is right, he'll be 100% when he gets on the court. I can tell you this, though. Before the pandemic, he looked like Kevin Durant, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it would definitely make the Eastern Conference playoffs worth watching.
Yeah, because otherwise.
Because without him, there's no point in the Nets even showing up to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Nets would be 7, so they would get the Raptors in round one.
Oh, now see, wouldn't that be an interesting series? I mean,
yeah, you don't think the Raptors
without KD, it's not an interesting series. With KD, that's almost must-see television.
I think so. But obviously, I still don't think it's going to happen. I mean, first, they actually have to come back.
There has to be playoffs.
Yeah. And second, he has to be healthy. But, boy, that would add some intrigue to what looks like otherwise a nothing first-round matchup. So, and you don't know what he'd be. You don't know if he'd be 80% or 70%. But, yeah. Daniel said, fellas, NBA TV did a very good documentary on the Rockets' two titles called Clutch City. Found a link on Reddit to watch it. They address the Bulls-Rockets thing at the end. Yeah, so for Rockets fans, there you go. You have your own.
You got your own thing.
Yeah. Not everything is being disrespectful.
No.
Sometimes the whole plan is just, hey, we're doing this about this team. And the Rockets really weren't part of that story. I don't understand what the blowback is on that.
Yes, you do.
I
honestly expected it, but it was just I was waiting for it to happen, and Rockets fan didn't disappoint.
Yeah. I don't know. Rockets fan has kind of probably gotten lost in all this because Texans fans had to melt down over everything and Astros fans so mad about the world hating them.
Yeah.
So they just need something to be unhappy about. There you go. Congratulations. You've got it. Did you see that Shaq says that there are a couple NBA teams for sale and one may be relocating to Vegas?
No.
Yeah, he said, I heard through the grapevine.
Did he drop names?
He did not. He just said
it's Jordan. Now that he's addressed all the gambling stuff, he's just going to move his team to Vegas, just to prove that he doesn't have a problem.
He said, "I heard through the grapevine there are a couple teams for sale, and one may be going to Vegas." Did not go on to mention which couple teams are supposedly for sale. I would not be shocked if some of these guys who aren't as rich as we think they are.
Are you saying the Rockets could move to Vegas?
No, I don't think that one. But there are some teams that, they're rich, but they're not like able to go a year without a big revenue from their team.
Right.
So, I think that the danger for Vegas is overloading stuff.
I do too. Because it's still, it's still a small town if you consider the people that live there. And you can get, will people go in and watch a hockey game? Sure. Are they going to watch a hockey game and a basketball game? Probably not. Because they got other stuff to choose from. I wonder which teams would be looking to do that. Like, which teams are, the first thing that jumps to mind is always, like, who has old arenas? But I almost everybody's getting new stuff now. The oldest arena in the league was the Oracle, and it's gone. Now I think the oldest is Madison Square Garden, and it's not going anywhere. I don't know. I don't even know who's next beyond that. I think the Bucks have a pretty old arena. The Jazz, but I also don't think the Jazz are going anywhere.
No.
Maybe the Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves have an old arena. I could see that team moving.
New Orleans, maybe.
Maybe, but God, they've been they got rid of a franchise. They wanted one back. I don't know what New Orleans wants.
Well, and that's another place like Vegas, very tourist. A lot of the money coming from tourism, and guess what? You're not getting right now.
Nope.
Somebody says, not sure if you've addressed this, but will Palillo and Blank's podcast be uploaded? It should be.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it should be on podcastarena.com. 713 says, I enjoy Last Dance, but it feels too much like, hey, kids, MJ was better than your current favorite player. You were going to get some of that.
Yeah.
With, you know, and then 281 asks, Fred, did you start the Choke City thing at the Chronicle like the Tombstone? I did not. I was not Choke City guy. So somebody mentioned, what about Memphis?
It's possible, I guess.
Yeah, that I guess that one might make a little sense. But I don't know that – I think you're going to see teams fold here if this continues for a long time.
Yep.
Rather than move. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
In a game. In the next life, I'm trying to stay paid. When I die, I put my money in a grave. When I die, I put my money in a grave. I really got to put a couple
– More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And I had something I wanted to get to, unless you've got something pressing, because I just noticed we're only down to two segments.
Go for it.
Okay. Yardbarker basically did a thing where we all know Bill Belichick is the best current coach. But they brought up who is the second best coach in this era. And I think I have some opinions, but I'd be curious what you think.
The first name that comes to mind is Andy Reid.
Well, certainly because he finally got the Super Bowl.
Right.
And they've been good for so long. But almost all these guys on here, I think, you can make a pretty good case for. One of them being Pete Carroll.
I think he's in the conversation. Are you talking about current coaches only?
Current coaches only, yes.
Okay, because I was going to say, like, Tom Coughlin is probably in the discussion. But, yeah, I Pete Carroll, Andy Reid.
John Harbaugh.
Sean Payton. You know I love John Harbaugh, but I don't know if he's at that level. But I don't know if anybody's got a high, outside of Belichick, has a higher playoff percentage rate than him. I mean, his team's in the playoffs damn near every single year.
Yeah,
of course. So is Mike Tomlin, and I don't put Mike Tomlin in that conversation.
Well, they have him in the conversation. That's the one of these things is not like the other in my mind, but they make a pretty good case. He's got a championship, two Super Bowl appearances, 8 postseason berths, 642 winning percentage. They had the number one ranked DVOA defenses in both their Super Bowls. While he's a defense, gets credit for the defense because that's his side of the ball, and that's what won him the Super Bowl. But they make a pretty good case, but. Andy Reid, obviously.
I guess to me it's just kind of eye test. This dude is he's a knucklehead. I mean, I don't know how better to put it. The dude can't manage a clock. It seems like he's always making questionable decisions. I'm not there on him, but you know.
Well, but I'll just say, as much as I love Andy Reid, boy, sometimes his game management stuff is just bizarre. And he gets by with it because his teams are so good.
Yeah.
But he's also had a lot of success with a lot of different quarterbacks over the years. He had Donovan McNabb and Jeff Garcia and Michael Vick and Alex Smith and then finally Mahomes. Won postseason games with all those guys.
Yep.
And, Carroll did win a postseason game before Russell Wilson. So it's not like it's all been Russell Wilson with him.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a good group.
And, yeah.
I mean – I think you can make a case for almost all those guys. I probably, you know, I don't want to sound recency biased, but I probably take Reed second, and then
because for the longest time, Reed had he had this hanging over him that he'd never been able to win.
Yeah, and
I think getting that Super Bowl kind of seals a spot for him.
It's not even a question. Butchin has won 4 of the last 5 division titles.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is true. Well,
I don't quite think he's going to. I don't think he's quite going to make it. But
yeah, I also think that we romanticize coaches in a way that makes it hard to put current coaches, like to put them on the all-time list. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this is just for second best of this era.
Right. I'm saying we will always compare them to, well, what about this guy, you know, that came before him? Like, I think Mike Tomlin will always be compared to Bill Cowher, right?
Right.
And Bill Cowher, he won a Super Bowl and made it to another one. He won a bunch of division titles. So I don't know if. But I don't consider those two guys equals, although their resume says that they're pretty close to it.
Yeah. I think there's some things he's really good at. There's just some other things that are so visible that he does poorly in some of his decisions that I think that colors the view of him a little bit in terms of how good a coach he is, because he obviously is a pretty damn good coach.
Yeah.
And says big Steelers fan here and also a Tomlin fan, but those Super Bowl appearance teams that Cowher built, Tomlin just reaped the benefit. You still have to get them there, and that's a hard thing to do. And you know, I don't know. I probably, like, if I could pick one of those coaches to, I've got to start an expansion team. I obviously can't have Belichick, but I can have any one of these other coaches. Probably going with Reed, Peyton, or Carroll, or Harbaugh, in no particular order. I'd wait and see who got drafted elsewhere, but I would take those four over Mike Tomlin.
Yeah,
and I'd probably want Andy Reed. Yeah, I think
Andy Reid's mine too. I mean, Pete Carroll's close though, and I love Harbaugh. He just doesn't. He hasn't been doing it for as long, but. I don't know. I think it's a tough call after Bill Belichick, honestly.
Well, Harbaugh probably won the one with the worst quarterback of those guys.
Well, and then the question becomes, you know, if you could have one of those coaches, would you rather have, you know, an Andy Reid or a Pete Carroll, or would you rather have a Sean McVay? Or a Kyle Shanahan, like an up-and-coming guy? What's your preference?
I would always prefer the established guy if I have a choice. Now,
because it does seem like those two guys are the future of the NFL or coaches like that.
Yeah. I think so, but there's also not enough of a body of work there yet. And, you know, I think McVay is the guy you could look at that 5 years from now, we're having a different conversation about, and maybe Shanahan too.
Yeah.
But as of now, would I rather have Sean Payton or Kyle Shanahan? Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's a different discussion, but I think it's a good one. So, oh boy. 713-780-ESPN is the number. 713-780-3776. And, so he asked about McCarthy, and I wouldn't have him with that group.
No.
Even though he did win a Super Bowl, he's I think he wouldn't be – he'd be pretty far down my list of draftees. In fact, I'd probably take the two young guys before him.
Yeah, certainly.
And
I mean, there's a reason he was available.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll have to see if he can – win one without Aaron Rodgers, who was in his prime at the time. So, but you know, it's fun to discuss, because the truth is, none of those guys are going anywhere. But if you could have a draft of coaches, and we know who goes number one. I think it is interesting. I think it just kind of depends on what you prefer. And yep. I'm an offensive guy, so I would lean to the offensive guys. But if you told me I got Pete Carroll, I'm not going to bitch.
Yeah.
Pretty good about that.
I don't know where I get on the list before I start taking some of those younger guys, before I take a McVay or a Shanahan, because I love both those guys as coaches. But I do appreciate, you know, the having skins on the wall type of thing, which I guess maybe – and I guess it's not apples to apples, but it's like, where do you put Deshaun Watson on best quarterbacks in the league list? Do you put him ahead of Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, a Super Bowl champion? Or do you put him ahead of Drew Brees? I guess it's not the same, because you can coach well into, you know, into your older years. But yeah, I think it's worth discussing. At what point does the upside come into play versus what a guy's been able to do so far?
Yeah, and then you can't really do it in a vacuum either, because, you know, what kind of roster are you going to have?
Yep.
And if I've got a defensive-oriented roster, I probably want one of those defensive guys. If I've got a promising quarterback, I want Sean Payton or Andy Reid. But
yeah, but you know what? I mean, if you've got – we think about what Andy Reid's been able to do with Patrick Mahomes, and obviously it ends up being a perfect marriage. But, I mean, think about if Kyle Shanahan had Patrick Mahomes, what he could do with him. You know, I think it's definitely a conversation that could be had.
Yeah, I think so much of it, though, comes back to the coach. I mean, you think Sean Payton would have some success with Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, of course.
Do you think Sean McVay would? But
yeah.
On the other hand,
Sean McVay made Jared Goff look like an MVP candidate.
Well, and that thing, the thing about that is I would trust him with those guys, but I would not trust him on the Browns. I don't think he'd be the same player. So, all right, let's take a break. One last segment to go. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. I was trying to banish my dog on the break, and Aaron thought I was talking to him. So,
nonsense is your dog getting into?
Oh, she just came down and started. Yeah, she'll usually come check on me a couple times a show, and then she'll leave. But this time, she started to try to play around with my amplifier and stuff, so I had to kick her out.
Okay.
So, do we have a dumbass report?
Of course we do, Fred. How dare you question that? Am I not prepared 100% of the time? All the time?
Well, there have been a few times, but hey.
I don't remember I don't.
Of course not. No one ever remembers the bad times.
The Florida is one of the states that's tried to, I mean, they've been hit hard by coronavirus, so they've tried to basically stop, they've tried to do something to slow it down at least. I give them some credit, but Floridians, they're not following any of the safety measures. Nobody who's told to stay home has stayed home. As of Friday afternoon, 324,208 people have completed a survey, which is about 1.5% of the population of the state, to see like how willing are they to help flatten the curve. Of those surveyed, 22.5% say they don't clean or disinfect frequently. When asked if they would stay home if sick, 26% people said they would not. More than 50% of the people said they haven't been consulting the CDC. And out of those surveyed, 36,000 said they had symptoms, 13,000 said they feel sick, and 882 said they traveled while feeling sick. So Florida, not flattening our curve whatsoever. And I, honestly, they should have known when they decided to do this survey that that's what was going to happen in Florida. The Florida of the North, Michigan. A woman was arrested Thursday morning after attacking her boyfriend with a frying pan and stabbing his car tire with a butcher knife. Officers were called shortly after 1:30 a.m. to a home in Chelsea for a domestic disturbance after someone called 911 stating they could hear a man and woman yelling at each other outside. Officers arrived and found a man with a head wound in the backyard who said he was attacked by his live-in girlfriend during an argument. The man said his girlfriend, armed with a frying pan and butcher knife, hit him over the head multiple times with the pan, then used the knife to stab his tire. Officers went in the home where they found the 42-year-old woman extremely agitated and yelling at them. The situation was de-escalated and the woman was arrested without further incident. Obviously charged for aggravated domestic violence.
Not wise guys.
And let's go to Ashtabula, Ohio, where a mail carrier has been indicted on 3 charges of trafficking cocaine. Darcy Springer was arrested in December after a 3-month investigation. She was selling drugs from her work vehicle along her mail route. She was arrested after she left her home and was on her way to work. She's out on bond. There is no next court date listed, but not wise.
That's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, you can't sell cocaine on your mail route. And finally,
you just
Fred,
get a little extra delivery there. That's all.
A special delivery. Yeah. A Rochester woman was arrested after being clocked driving 111 miles per hour. New Hampshire State Police said Nicole George, who's 31, was charged with reckless operation after another stop. She was initially stopped driving 90 in a 50 just after noon.
It's too damn hot.
So 90 in a 50 and then 111 in a 65 within minutes of each other. Issued a summons for speeding and released. This was 13 minutes apart. I'll get to this, but she was pulled over again, obviously 13 minutes later, arrested on charges of reckless operation. Troopers also found 40 grams of heroin and fentanyl and a small amount of methamphetamine in her possession. You may want to slow down
do
if
meth.
You're carrying around meth and heroin. Two great things about this. One, she's got a face mask around her neck in her mugshot, so she was at least being safe while driving 111 miles an hour and carrying fentanyl. Also, maybe the most interesting thing about this story, going 111 miles an hour in a Honda Pilot. Would you have thought that's even possible?
No.
That's an impressive feat, I must say.
Yeah, that makes her a winner in my book, if you can get that thing going that fast.
And that is the dumbass report, Fred.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's impressive. I wouldn't think you could get one of those over 90.
Yeah, but, good for her.
Yeah.
That's what methamphetamine will get you.
Fentanyl, man.
Yeah.
I don't believe people. I don't know why people mess with that stuff, man. I've never heard anything good about fentanyl.
Yeah. I've never heard anybody like, you know what? I got a really great high off fentanyl last night. It was it was just the right amount. No, I always hear like, oh yeah, there was like a tiny speck of it mixed into my cocaine and I died.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I'm not a fan of. I don't want to die from that. Just like I don't want to bring back typhoid.
Yeah.
Or any of that stuff.
I'm against.
So, oh well. Anything on the agenda for tonight or just another Monday in the Roniverse?
Another day in paradise. Another day in paradise. My kids have been trying to get me to play video games with them on Monday nights, so I may get down on that. They like to play the WWE 2K19.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Just, don't let them beat you.
Be fun whooping their ass, is what you mean.
Yeah, they're still too young to be beating you. You know,
right.
Once that starts happening, and once my son turned the corner on me, it really sucked.
That's no good.
Because video games, like real sports, you might be able to hold them off a little bit longer, but video games, kids are always going to be better.
Yep.
And once they turn that corner on you, your ass is kicked. So, yeah, I remember my son beating me at, I want to say it was Madden for the first time, and I'm like, I'm probably never beating this kid again.
Damn. So, yeah, I won't let my – I beat my kid's ass at Madden.
Oh, and I did for years, man. I'd run up the score. He'd get frustrated and quit, and I'm like, okay, fine. Be a little bitch. And then the day came.
Yeah.
And, all right, oh, boy, he's figured this stuff out.
Pepper says, I'm a mailman, and I was never told that I couldn't sell drugs on my route. Well, okay. I mean, I guess if I hadn't told you, then
hey,
big deal.
Nobody's going to fault you for trying to make a little extra scratch right now.
Yeah.
That's totally fine. Just drop the weed off at my place, and then do whatever else you want with the rest of it. Don't want the fentanyl. All right. Let's just wrap this puppy up. We will be back again tomorrow. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Aaron, as always. And I guess it'll be Nick tomorrow. Is that correct? Or it'll be Aaron tomorrow?
It'll be Nick. Or it's supposed to be.
Okay. No, it'll be Tyler. Right. Nick and Tyler have switched shifts. So Tyler will be our new Tuesday-Thursday, our Tuesday-Thursday producer.
Awesome. Well, look forward to it. Until tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
ESPN 97.5.